I'm going to get a little bit of interaction tonight from y'all if you have any interaction to give. In this world, name some things that people put their confidence in. Name some things that people put their confidence in. How about one at a time? Okay, who's it? Okay, their government. You know, anytime I've heard it said, you need to be skeptical when people say, I'm from the government and I'm here to help you. Always be skeptical of that. But some people really do. Right? My government will take care of me. Or maybe some political party will see me through, or some politician that's my favorite. That's where my confidence rests. What else do people put their confidence in? Gwen? Our own ability. We got to be really careful about that. You know, God has given us abilities, and we're supposed to do our best, but the power doesn't come from within me. You know, I can't psych myself up and do what God wants me to do of my own power. So a lot of people put confidence in self, and have y'all discovered that usually will let you down, and government will let you down? What else do people put confidence in? In money. What's the problem with putting confidence in money? Money doesn't get you anywhere. Money can't buy you happiness. You've heard that probably in your life, right? And what happens when money just kind of disappears? Remember that series of messages, that one passage in Proverbs, I believe, that talks about how riches takes wings and flies away. So you can't put your confidence in money because, I mean, the way our economy is going, even in our country, our dollar is being so devalued that it doesn't even buy as much as it used to, and it might just totally at some point be worthless, to be honest with you. So government doesn't work, self doesn't work, money doesn't work. What do other people put confidence in? Other people. Real problem with that is the other people will let us down because they're human. And if we're part of the other people for someone else, we'll probably let them down because we're human beings, right? So that's not really a perfect place to put your confidence. Encouraged by it, absolutely, but not confidence in it. Anything else you can think of we put our confidence in? What is it? If you put your confidence in the weather, man, you definitely got problem. What is it? Yeah, they do pretty well sometimes. The thing that cracks me up is when there's no snow forecasted. You even look at your phone at what's going on at where you're at, and you're looking outside, and it's snowing, and it says, it'll start snowing in an hour. It's like, it's snowing right now. But anyway, the point is you can't put your confidence in these things and have any satisfaction. You can't put your confidence in these things and be delivered or rescued from the problems in life. Tonight, just going to look at a little verse in particular. We'll read a few verses and then look at one verse in particular with some supporting verses. But we're talking about confidence in the Lord. Confidence in the Lord. We as humans have a tendency to want to put our confidence in a number of things. But can I say to you, and this is not meant to be as much of a challenge as it is really an encouragement. I'm thankful that when all those other things fail me, I can put my confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, and He is not ever going to let me down. Even in the midst of discouragement or trials or troubles or cold waves or snowstorms or whatever, I can always put my confidence in Jesus. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're looking at 2 Timothy. You will need your Bible tonight, if you have one. Open it up, 2 Timothy. We're going to be looking at verses 1 to 12. Now, can anyone tell me anything about the book of 2 Timothy? Or who wrote the book of 2 Timothy, for instance? Can someone tell me? Paul wrote the book of 2 Timothy. He also wrote the book 1 Timothy and a number of books in the Bible, a number of letters in the Bible. Now, who did he write it to? To Timothy. Good, good. I remember in youth group years ago, I tricked one of my teenage friends, Debbie Skaggs, I remember, tricked her. You know, I kind of made like these real, really hard questions, like, who wrote the book of Luke? She got it wrong. I psyched her out, I guess. But so the book is written to Timothy. That's why it's called 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. Now, does anyone know what position Timothy had at this point and where he was and what he was doing? Okay, he was with Paul quite a bit, but Paul left him at one place in particular to be the preacher or the pastor at Ephesus. Okay, so we got an older. I've done some research before. Now I don't remember the specifics of it, but it seemed like Paul very well could have been like in his 60s, and Timothy may have been like in his 30s, and he was writing to Timothy some words about how to pastor and how to persevere in the face of trials and tribulations. Now, does anyone know what chronology this book was written in? Or was this one of his early books, or was this one of his late books, Paul? That may be kind of a tricky question. It's toward the end. It's actually, scholars feel that this was the last letter that Paul wrote, is right here. And he is in Roman prison. Now, most people feel that Paul was in early prison, then he was released a little bit. You know, in Rome he was in, he was released, then he was rearrested, and then he was beheaded. So this is just a little bit before he dies. Okay, he's a martyr. And listening to some of the things he says, now he is not under house arrest at this point. He is in a Roman dungeon. Okay? Now the earlier prison sentence was under house arrest. A little bit easier, I'm sure, but he was in a Roman dungeon, from what I understand, when he wrote the book of 2 Timothy. A little bit older, probably went through a whole lot more for the Lord, and he writes these words. This is one of the prison epistles. You got 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus. Excuse me, pastoral epistles written to pastors. So listen, we're going to read verses 1 to 12, and we're going to focus on one verse. It says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. Well, that's quite a verse in itself, isn't it? Paul is doing the will of God. That's always important. And it says, according to the promise of life. Aren't you thankful we have a promise of life in Christ Jesus? Wow. It's not a promise of death. It's a promise of life. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. A typical greeting in a letter, you know, grace, mercy, and peace be to you. And then he says in verse 3, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Now, does it make you feel good when someone says, I'm praying for you? It does. I'm humbled. Many times people say, you know what? I pray for you every day. You're like, wow, really? Can you imagine what a mess I'd be if people weren't praying for me all the time? But I'm just thankful for prayer. And Paul tells Timothy, I'm praying for you. I'm remembering you in prayer without ceasing. Night and day I'm praying for you. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. So I'm mindful that you need encouragement. I'd like to see you come. I know you're going through a lot, but I'd like to see you and be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned, that's sincere. I know we don't use that word a lot today. I'm not sure I've ever used that in conversation, but it means sincere. I call to remembrance the sincere faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, that I am persuaded, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So he said this is sincere faith. Is it important that our faith be sincere? Be genuine. You know, we like to buy genuine leather boots, right? Or genuine something or another, right? It's important that our faith is genuine. That's part of the problem. That's part of the reason the world doesn't look so highly on Christianity and Christians, is because what they've seen out of Christians isn't always genuine Christianity. It says, wherefore I put thee to in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Now, you got to keep in mind, this is the apostolic age, okay? Paul was an apostle. I don't believe gifts today are imparted by me putting my hand on somebody and say, okay, you're gifted now. Here's your gift. But this was a unique time in the apostolic time, okay? Today, I believe when someone is saved, God gives them a spiritual gift, at least one. It says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So why should we fear? He's not giving us a spirit of fear when it comes to the gospel. We should be bold. It says of power, love toward God and people, and of sound mind. I mean, think logically. Share the truth. Verse 8, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. So don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of me because I'm in prison for the gospel. And it says, actually, you know, be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. I really think, and I said this quite often, one of the reasons we are not persecuted more is because we are not standing up for the Lord the way we should. But he's telling Timothy, stand up for the gospel, even if it costs you something. Verse 9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Now, this is amazing. This really jumped out at me when I read this. But according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. If I'm understanding that right, the purpose that God has for us and the grace that God has shown to us was preordained before the world began in Christ Jesus. That's a pretty big thought. Like God has a plan for you that he had for you before the world began. Pretty good stuff. It's not the message. I'm getting to it. You say, preacher, when are you going to get to the message? In due time. In due time. Verse 10. It says, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Lord. It says, this purpose and grace which is given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. But now it's been made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. This is really good stuff. Listen, who hath abolished death? A Christian's not going to die. We're going to lay down this old body, but the Bible calls it sleep. So we're just going to go to sleep in this world, and hello heaven, hello Jesus, hello glory forever and ever. Who hath abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The only way we're going to do that is through the gospel, the good news of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. It says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, Paul says, and an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. That's who he mainly ministered to, was the Gentiles, right? Here's the verse. Are you ready? He says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. What things? He's in the dungeon, a Roman dungeon, awaiting death. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now you got to remember this. I mean, the prisons of today, even if you've been in prison as a visitor, I hope, but even if you've been in prison, the prisons of today are not to be compared with the Roman prisons of that day, I am sure. And imagine, he's in prison, he has done nothing wrong. He is preach the gospel until it cost him something. And he's in a Roman dungeon. And I'm sure, you know, he's probably figuring out, God kept him pretty much aware of a lot of things happening. He's probably at least sensing that this may be the end of my life. But listen to the confidence that he has. I mean, if Paul has this kind of confidence right at the end of his life, just as he's ready to leave this world, don't you think you and I can have this kind of confidence every day of our life, which is not near as difficult as the Apostle Paul's life? I've broken this down into 3 points. First of all, he says, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, he says, point number one, I am not ashamed. Ashamed. Ashamed of what? Ashamed of Jesus. You know, can you imagine people in this prison if they were able to communicate with other people and they said, well, why are you in, what's you in here for? What's you in here for? You know, if you ever heard any of these prisoners on any of these westerns or anything, nobody's ever done anything wrong. But literally, Paul has not done anything wrong, right? But he's saying, He says, you know what? I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. You know, I, even if it costs me my life, I'm going to continue to stand for that. I mean, doesn't that make us feel a little bit bad sometimes when we hesitate to say something for Jesus because we wonder what someone might think about me or what it might cost us, or, you know, they're big and they might thump me or whatever. I mean, Paul was right here at the brink of death, so to speak, and execution by beheading, by tradition, is the way he was killed. And he still says, you know what? I'm in prison. It's cost me a lot, but I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Wow. Isn't that something? You know, he says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, I'll read that to you. He says something very similar. He says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Why in the world would we be ashamed of Jesus after he's done so much for us? Why in the world would we hold back? You know, I don't think anybody here says, well, yeah, I'm ashamed of Jesus. We never say that, but sometimes by our actions we show that we're ashamed of Jesus. I mean, seriously, what we ought to be on the housetop. Probably not right now, because there might be snow on your housetop still. But really, figuratively speaking, we should be on the housetop shouting, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. He has done so much for me. It's only because of the gospel that I have the hope that I have. And I can go through anything because of Jesus. Paul says, I am not ashamed. I don't know about you, but I hear confidence when he says that. Don't you? I am not ashamed. The second thing, he knew where his confidence should rest, right? The second point, first point of this confidence in the Lord is, I am not ashamed, Paul writes. Secondly, he goes on to say, for I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. Who's that? Who's the whom? The Lord Jesus, right? He says, I know whom. You know, it's not like, well, I kind of think maybe, yeah, sort of. I know. I know whom I have believed. You know, salvation is not a think so, hope so, maybe so salvation. It is a know so salvation. Do you know that? I mean, really, I think a lot of times in our churches, and this kind of perplexes me a bit, I don't quite understand it, but we have people in our churches, I mean, we're talking about churches that present the gospel clearly. Whenever possible. Nearly every message, at least in condensed form. And you have people in your church that really aren't sure they're saved. Paul has a confidence. He says, I know whom I have believed. I know Jesus Christ. He's not putting his confidence in anything else. He says, I know I'm saved. And seriously, if you don't know you're saved, or if you're listening in, you don't know you're saved, you say, well, I think maybe kind of. I'm telling you, you can know for sure. You can know for sure. 1 John 5:13, I may not quote it exactly right, but the idea is, I'm writing these things so that you'll know that you're saved and you have eternal life. I'm thankful that I know. I know some people may take that a little as cocky. Oh, preacher, you're just cocky. No, I'm not really, because I have nothing to do with it other than putting my faith in Jesus. The reason I know I'm saved is because of the work of Jesus, and as we'll talk about in a moment, the keeping power of the Lord. I see confidence in what Paul was writing. You know, if he can have that confidence near death in a Roman dungeon, you and I should have that same confidence. First of all, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. If you got a minute here, let me tell you what the gospel is. Let me tell you what the Lord did for me, because I am not ashamed of the gospel. And by the way, what you goofballs over here are talking about, you're totally wrong, because that's not what the Bible says. I don't know if you should really call them goofballs or not. But the point is, you may think goofballs. Maybe you don't want to use that word. But really, the time is for us to stand up and be strong and to speak out. We've kept quiet so long, people just think, oh, they don't really have an opinion. They don't really care. And we passed up lots of opportunities. Don't you think sometimes we just need to stand up and say, guess what? Some of that foolishness you guys are talking about, you really need to read your Bible. Because I know God, and I'm a child of God, and I'm going to stand for God, and I don't care what it's going to cost me, because I'm not ashamed of the gospel. If Paul can say that, we ought to be able to say that. Secondly, I know whom I have believed. Again, I see a confidence in that. We can have that confidence. I know Jesus as my Savior. I mean, if I breathe my last tonight, I know where I'm going. I mean, don't you dare, as I said before, don't you dare go around my. Now, this is a few things supposed to do at my funeral, okay? If I go before you, you're supposed to come up to my casket. You know I'll be looking good, right? You're supposed to say, didn't they do a good job? He looks really good. You know, you're going to have to say that, okay? And if you want to, you can say, I know he's in heaven because he said he knows where he's going. Don't you dare say, I wonder where he's at. Don't you dare say that. I'll raise up in my coffin. I'm kidding you. But I know whom I have believed. Confidence. You can have that same confidence. It's not just for preachers. It's not just for missionaries. It's not just for Sunday school teachers. It's not just for deacons. It's not just for ushers. It's for everybody that knows Jesus. Confidence. I know whom I have believed. Last point. In this sermon, confidence in the Lord. I am not ashamed of Jesus nor the gospel. I know whom I have believed. That's Jesus. And third, notice what it said. Just read right there in that verse. It says, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. That day, in my mind, is probably talking about his death. And he says, I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed. What had Paul committed to the Lord? Now think about that just a moment. What had he committed for the keeping of the Lord? His what? His life, his soul? This soul is in the hands of the Lord. And he says, I'm convinced, I know that he's able to keep my soul. 1 Peter 4:19 says, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. So even if you go through persecution, you go through troubles, you go through trials, this old body gets sick. We hear that old word cancer and it strikes fear in everybody, at least a little bit, at least for a little while. But then guess what? We come to the conclusion, the Lord's keeping my soul. This body's not eternal, but your soul and your spirit are eternal. And guess who got your soul in the palm of his hand? And guess who's going to take care of you and take you to heaven? And on top of that, give you a brand new body someday that's a whole lot better than what you got right now. The hair is not going to get gray. You're not going to lose it. You're not going to be overweight. You're not going to be underweight. You're not going to be wrinkled. You're not going to be cross-eyed. You're not going to be bow-legged or anything because you got a brand new body because my soul is going to be with the Lord because he keeps my soul. I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. In other words, I know that God's got my soul. Because I'm a child of God. You know, I don't even have to worry about waking up someday and saying, you know what? I wonder if I lost it. Huh. And I look in the mirror and I said, I wonder if I've lost my salvation. Huh. That'd be kind of scary, wouldn't it? Really? I wouldn't like that kind of salvation. Not near as good as what I got. I don't have to worry about losing my salvation. If you believe that, you believe a false doctrine. Because if someone is truly born again, God has you. He's the one that's keeping your soul, not you. You're not keeping yourself saved. Now let me ask you a question. If you're not saved by works, how in the world can you be lost by works? How in the world can you be lost by not doing certain works? You can't. End of story. The instant you gave your heart and life to Jesus, your eternal destiny was sealed. And God said, you know that soul and that spirit? It's mine. I got it. Listen, John 10:28-30. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. I and my Father are one. You know the way I like to think about it? We are in Jesus' hands. And then Jesus is in God's hands. And there ain't no way, and I'm using ain't on purpose, there ain't no way that any man's going to pluck you, your soul, and your spirit out of God's hands. Your eternal destiny is sealed if you know Jesus. I'm persuaded that he is able to keep my soul. Even when I die. I'll say again, death for a Christian is not supposed to be dreaded. Now, I get it. I fully understand it. I really do. You know, because there's a little bit of the unknown part there. You know, because we've not experienced. Maybe the unknown isn't even quite the right term, but it's something that we've never experienced. So I understand a little bit of apprehension as we approach death. Paul was approaching death. He had confidence. Really, we can have the confidence. I understand the hesitancy, but we can have confidence because we can have confidence in God, and he's a God who is always faithful. He's not like the government. It's not like money that loses its value, right? It's not like friends that will let us down. It's not like any of the things that people put their hope and trust in, their confidence in. I put my confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Tonight, confidence in the Lord. First of all, I am not ashamed of the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Ask yourself that question. Am I sometimes a little ashamed of the gospel? I don't really speak up as much as I should. I don't speak up for right like I should sometimes. Just think about that. Secondly, tonight, I know whom I have believed. I know Jesus. I know. It's not a hope so, think so. If you're here tonight and you hope that you're saved, let me encourage you. Get saved for real tonight. It's a no-so type of salvation. If you're listening in by Facebook tonight and you're not sure that you're saved, you're not 100% sure that you're on your way to heaven and be saved, I'd ask you tonight, call out to the Lord. Say, Lord, save me. Forgive me of my sins. I believe Jesus died on the cross to pay for my sins. I want him as my Savior. And if you mean that from your heart, it doesn't have to be I hope so anymore. It can be I know so. I know whom I have believed. It can be a confidence, not in yourself, not in anything else other than the power of God. I know whom I have believed. And thirdly, we looked at, I am persuaded that he's able to keep my soul. Goodness gracious, I'm glad he's got my soul in his hand and I don't have to worry about it because I know where I'm going. I know where I'm going. Has God spoken to your heart tonight a little bit? About something? You probably never guessed the song we're going to sing. I know whom I have believed. Amy's going to come to the piano and we're going to sing. And if you just want to come up. Now again, this is great news for a child of God. And if you just want to come forward tonight and say, God, I'm glad that I don't have to be ashamed of the gospel. Help me to be bold in that. I'm glad that I know whom I believe in. And I'm glad and so grateful that you got my soul right in the palm of your hand and I'm going to spend eternity with you someday. So maybe as we sing this song, you want to come to the altar, talk to God about whatever you want. Maybe come up and say, Lord, I'm just thankful that you got this, that I can have confidence in you.